Joining us right now is Dr. V.K. Paul. Dr. Paul is the head of the National COVID Vaccine Task Force. Dr. Paul, 80 lakh vaccines per day is an achievement in itself. You know, this is size of many countries we've been able to vaccinate. So congratulations. Obviously, this is a moment where we should be happy. But of course, you know, there will be some important questions on how will we maintain this and perhaps even grow further.
Well, Sanket, it is truly a matter of great satisfaction and pride that the country has demonstrated that a vaccination program of this scale can be delivered. This is the first recognition that we would like the people of India, our countrymen and women, to appreciate and feel satisfied that going forward, universal vaccination is within our grasp because we can deliver on such a scale. We are also confident that as we demonstrate this capability, it is critical that vaccine supplies will rise and should rise consistently over the next weeks and months. And coupled with that, this kind of a rate of vaccination on the ground is critical. Only then can we ensure universal immunization for COVID-19 in finite period of time that we have to ensure, and we are committed to covering every adult by a certain date has to be achieved in order to stimulate our economy, in order to feel safe from this deadly virus, and to move into a position to start helping other nations as well, because that is also one of our important tenets and beliefs.
How soon, Dr. Paul, is that going to happen? Because obviously we have international commitments which we have kept on hold because of a vaccine shortage.
Well,
what is the timeline?
This is not the apt time to put a timeline. Mm-hmm. But the point that I am making is that we have to ensure that people of India are vaccinated and the life comes to normalcy, economic life as well as social life comes to normal times. And then as we move forward, there is a responsibility for this nation to fulfill, because we are the vaccine pharmacy of the world. Mm-hmm. And our capabilities in that regard as we move forward are there to be harnessed by other people.
But you know, Dr. Paul, my question is that today we've achieved 80. Even now, if you are to meet the end of the year target, we'll have to vaccinate about 97 lakh per day. Obviously, you would be looking at scalability further. So this sending of the vaccine abroad to honor our international commitments, will this lead to a dip in this new peak that we have achieved?
Sanket,
or is this now the new consistency?
No. Remember what I said. I laid out that aspirational goal for ourselves.
Which is?
There is no question of any vaccine availability for outside the nation till we have optimally vaccinated people of India. That's a clear priority. Mm-hmm. But when you are looking at setting the vision and high objectives for a nation of our size and importance, we are also having that objective in mind. But remember, today what has been demonstrated is that state government, union government, local administrations and people of India can come together to implement a vaccine program of this size. And if we have demonstrated it once, surely it paves the way for a sustained capabilities to be put on the ground on a daily basis.
I agree. Dr. Paul, don't mind my asking, because the questions will be slightly probing for the benefit of better understanding, nothing else. Dr. Paul, my question is on transparency as far as availability of the vaccine is concerned, because that is key, as you've just mentioned. So far, there was shortage. That's why we could not scale it up. Now we have these vaccines being available, and thus the vaccination drive has peaked, or it has moved forward.
The vaccination drive is picking up. And in the context of the new guidelines, when the state government and the union government work together in a seamless way through centralized procurement and supply system, you notice that new milestones can be achieved. The vaccine availability roadmap has been stated in public by the government multiple times. You are aware that we have two major players, and going between August to December with two major players, we have already placed orders for 44 crore doses, mm-hmm. which is about half of what we were to procure as union government following the previous policy. What does it mean? It means that there is a visibility to the extent of 88 or 90 crore vaccine doses coming from these two players. Mm. We have given an advance purchase order in a way for a third vaccine, which is the BioE vaccine, mm-hmm. for 30 crore doses for the same period of time. If you add this, would you not like to feel comfortable that 120 crore doses technically mm. could be secured and they are visible to us if everything goes well? Mm. Indeed, in a journey of this kind, there are some uncertainties. The scale-up happens in new facilities, for example. Mm. These new facilities have to function. The new reactors have to succeed. Fair enough. And in terms of additional vaccine types, such as the Cadila Zydus, such as BioE itself, such as the Novavax vaccine, such as, for example, the mRNA vaccine from Genova, there are journey points that have to be achieved. A roadmap has to be achieved. But the fact remains that we can be optimistic that this nation has the capability to have Make in India vaccines to that extent. And to this, we also have to keep in mind the potential of internationally developed vaccine. Mm. One such example is Sputnik, which is actually a joint vaccine, vaccine developed through joint effort of two nations. Mm-hmm. That also has a future in terms of increased number, production, as well as at this stage, import. We are also working closely with the other international vaccine suppliers, and we are open to having them into our country. So when you put it all together, one can derive reasonable satisfaction and confidence that it is possible for our nation to achieve the goal of universal immunization for eligible population in a reasonable period of time.
Dr. Paul, see, of course, barring a situation where there is force majeure, are you reasonably comfortable that we can only scale up from here and not go down to the lows of, 10 lakh per day vaccine or even lower? That 80 lakh is now going to be the new normal. In fact, we are only going to scale it up further.
Sanket, you said it, and I like that. I don't have to say it. There is a buoyancy in your voice today that, yes, going forward, we are looking forward to at a different level of vaccine uptake in the country. A day-to-day variation will happen, and it ought to happen. But the direction is acceleration, acceleration, and acceleration. Mm-hmm. Remember, currently we are still working with the vaccine supplies which are of finite nature, but they are rising. For example, in this month, we are visualizing about 12 crore doses to be available. Next month, we visualize about 15 crore doses, and then increasing in a quantum jump. So you should believe that these developments are real. They are very likely. Mm. There is a roadmap available to them. The companies are now stable. Companies are having a higher appetite to produce and to rise to the occasion and take the nation forward in making vaccine available to all of us.
Dr. Paul, one of the reasons that was cited, not by you, but many experts who said that the reason why the gap between the two Covishield doses has been increased is not just science, but also availability. It's both. So that's a reasonable justification. Now that you look at a horizon where you will have vaccines readily available, how likely is it that Dr. Paul decides, let's now reduce the duration?
Firstly, it is not Dr. Paul or the government of India decides this. Hmm. The nation has a robust organization based on WHO guidelines and internationally accepted way of working. And this institution is called the National Technical Advisory Group on Immunization, or NTAGI. It has people who are from diverse backgrounds, and they're all scientists. And they take a decision. At the core of that NTAGI is this group, which decides what is the scientific approach that has to be
but
taken.
But what's your opinion?
Let me complete.
Yeah.
They visualize, first and foremost, whether a given vaccine is effective, will it work in our population, And then if it is to be administered, what are the parameters through which it should be administered? Then the discussion takes place. Should we invest in this? Is it affordable? Can we take it to scale? Do we have the cold chain? And by putting it all together, Entegy then takes a way forward. My answer to you is, respect the judgment of Entegy in these affairs.
Sure, okay.
Because individual scientists who go into public and individuals who go into public have a very valid reason to share with other people. But then when you have to take a decision in the interest of a large, vast, you know, humanity, this has to be a responsible decision taken by a collegium.
Sure.
And that collegium sorts out the issues of varying understanding of the science and then come together to make a final decision. Leave this decision to them. Please remember, no, Sanket, this controversy should be settled.
Sure.
We were giving this vaccine 4 to 6 weeks. Then there was a pressure to go to 12. We did not. We were waiting for data to be done. We then moved one step above, taking into account every factor, including the fact how much vaccine is available. And then when we moved to 12 weeks, I believe the Entegy took it on the basis of UK's real-life experience. They are examining this issue on a rolling basis. As the new data comes, they look at it. My plea is that it is good to see views on this in the public domain. We welcome. It shows the interest in the subject. But please leave such decisions to the wisdom of high, very high quality, high esteem, high achiever, and people of high integrity who form that committee.
I told you, Dr. Paul, some of the questions will be probing, so you should not mind. The intention is to find out what the truth is and what the thought process is. My
truth
next
is
question...
very evident. We are driven by science. It is a collective judgment
of
our scientists, the very best in our nation and highly respected globally.
Now, Dr. Paul, my next question is about the feasibility of producing the vaccine. See, I'm sure you must have heard the concerns raised by Bharat Biotech, where they said that if the vaccine is going to be produced or purchased at a certain rate, it will create certain amount of difficulties. Do you think that this could also be a potential problem later? While you're thinking about scalability, while you're thinking about expanding our, you know, availability of the vaccine, could this potentially become a problem where the companies just don't have enough money to be able to sustain their efforts?
I have not heard that there is such a concern. These companies are stable companies. They have stable finances. The government of India has always offered them assistance. Advance orders have been placed. You are aware that for the segment of 3 months ending July, advance orders were placed for the commitment that was required to be made by government of India. State governments place their own orders. We are in touch with them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing that there is a concern about their sustainability in financial terms. We are there. We are together in this. You will not believe how much interaction takes place with these companies on a daily basis. That is why we are confident and we know their plans. We have our regulator present in their company. They are watching their development. They are ensuring quality. They are helping. Okay. They are giving signals. They are watching how best we can help them, how to make sure that the time taken for a particular, you know, roadmap to be achieved for escalation of production, for example, in the Bangalore facility of Bharat Biotech, how can we be helpful in this regard? So this is a partnership. We are working together. We are transparent with each other. Yes, they have to be business-wise viable.
Sure.
We talk it over and then take a path which is acceptable to both the government and these wonderful manufacturers.
I have plenty of questions, Dr. Paul, but I'm quickly going to squeeze them in. And this is related to the Delta Plus variant. You know, this is a time when we see a new version of the Delta variant being reported in Maharashtra. And at the same time, massive unlocking is happening. Do you see this as a point of concern or a spot of bother?
Well, Delta variant or no Delta variant, our unlocking, to use that word, or relaxation of restrictions must happen in a systematic, stepwise, de-escalation-wise. It cannot be abrupt. It cannot be sudden going back to the ways that triggered at least partly responsible, partly for the rise that we saw. So first and foremost, it is the responsibility of district administration, the state administration, to ensure that we go in a stepwise manner. We don't de-bottle the whole thing in one go. Mm-hmm. We must be sure that as we open up, we have our preparedness ready, testing, tracking, contact tracing, quarantining the contacts, setting up containment zones as required, and also enforcing the COVID-appropriate behavior. Mm. We cannot let ourselves be exposed to another wave unnecessarily. It's about discipline. Mm. And therefore, this must go hand in hand with de-escalation. We should watch it. We should try it out. Move from one step to the next, and let's be all responsible. But remember, there is really no place for large gatherings. Mm-hmm. There's no place for mass gathering. There is no place for big parties. There is no place for, you know, restaurants full of people and air conditioning going on. That kind of a thing is postponed.
Dr. Paul, what's your estimation? What's your estimation on a third wave? I mean, we spoke to Dr. Guleria a few days ago, and he said that his estimation is that if things continue, if people don't respect COVID-appropriate behavior, it would come as soon as 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that's very alarming. What needs to be done, and what's your estimation?
Well, this Dr. Guleria, the way you have put it, has said, if people behave like this, the wave can come soon. Right? Conversely, if we don't behave like this, why should the third wave happen at all? Hmm. My request and my expectation, my humble request will be, let us be disciplined in our personal contact in terms of wearing a mask, social distancing, being careful, don't go out unnecessarily, don't enter crowded places and so on. Be careful. My request is that let the state governments and district administrations ensure the trace and track strategy and testing strategy optimally. If we do all these things in a systematic manner, why should the third wave come?
And
in the meanwhile, ramp up vaccination. If we remain disciplined as a nation for the next 4 to 5 months and we ramp up vaccination the way we can, and we have demonstrated how we can do it, we should not have any third wave. I think having or not having a third wave of the kind,
depends
a wave,
on what,
like
what
a
we
real
decide
wave.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It is dependent upon us. I call for discipline.
But
Pradhanmantri ji ne bhi kaha tha, dawai bhi, kadai bhi. Jo kadai wala part hai, discipline ka part hai, wo hume nahi bhulna
chahiye. But you know, Dr. Paul, you would also agree, and you've said this initially also, that the first step is testing, right? In your press conferences also, you said that we are ramping up our testing capabilities. And yet, the latest figures on testing is that we are only testing 18 lakh. This has actually come down. Do you think this is a cause of concern?
Remember, Sanket, how testing happens. See, testing happens in, first and foremost, if somebody is sick, so you get your test done. Respiratory symptoms, so you get the test done. If somebody is positive, then there is a protocol to test 15, 20 people of this person who came in contact. Then you continue to test people who are high risk, transport workers, bazaar mein, people who are exposed, healthcare workers, and people who are serving, let's say, in restaurants and so on, or transportation workers, as I said, or mandis, for example, bazaar, market. This is the way surveillance takes place. But now in a situation, if the positive cases have really come down, there'll be fewer people to be traced at contact. Hmm. So some level of variation will happen. But remember, there's a WHO benchmark. And WHO benchmark, we will never go below that as a policy. No district, no population. And that benchmark is 140 per million tests per day. And the government has made it very clear. So that's one condition. So you watch whether anybody is going below that. Second condition, we test enough to ensure that the test positivity is below 5% and as close to 2% as possible. Within this, you play. Because tomorrow, if the pandemic becomes very minimal, there will be less people who have flu-like illness. There will be less people.
So there will be less tests.
Who required. But then, sufficient number of testing and the capability to mount testing to a totally different level remains our responsibility by way of preparedness. And we have shown that you can have testing to the tune of to 22 lakhs and even more.
Sure.
And if required, we can mount it to 30 lakh.
Well,
so that preparedness must never be lowered.
Dr. Paul, all the best coming back to vaccination. All the best, and let's hope that we are able to achieve this target of vaccinating all by the end of the year. And may this 80 lakh be a new benchmark or the new bar, and we only exceed this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.